That's what's waiting for you when you have those kids finally, Dan. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And now for your SportsCenter update. LeBron James says that he will keep his social media open throughout the rest of the NBA season. No zero dark 30 or whatever he calls it. The Seahawks plan to wait until next year to sign newly acquired safety Jamal Adams to a long-term deal. And finally, in 2019, Panda Express served over 100 million pounds of orange chicken. I think I ate like a million of it myself. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. And also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts at participating CarQuest locations. These stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
That is Jorge Sedano. Any mistakes he makes of judgment or otherwise today might be drug-infused because he is on painkillers, because he threw out his back. He is sitting in for Stugatz, who is up to all sorts of chicanery. We don't know when he's coming back. He's just trying to pull scams. He's putting himself in the calendar, saying perhaps he'll work this day. He's talking like four different executives about his vacation days and giving them each different days. It's just unbelievable to wait. Like, he cannot simply do anything in a straight line. It all has to be a shell game. It all has to be camouflage, wearing a mask. He does it. It's where he gets joy from life. So we don't know when Stugatz is going to be on next. There really is no telling. But what did you want to tell Sedano? What did you want to tell Chris? What were you talking about earlier in the show with Crocs and chicken and what you – I didn't understand what you were saying.
So there is a story out there that Crocs, the famous shoemaker, is making – is collaborating with KFC. And they are making Crocs that look like fried chicken and smell like fried chicken. I feel like that's right up Chris Cody's alley.
What?
I mean, the smell – 100%. I am down with the smell. And now Crocs that look like chicken, I'm gonna have to see it before I commit to it, but you got me with smell. I'm in.
All right, I will text you. I will send it to you. It was on ABC's Twitter yesterday. ABC News tweeted that out yesterday. It was very strange that they were the ones to tweet it out, but nonetheless, it was there.
Chris, I'm done with you today. Your connection stinks. I don't understand. That can't be real, what you're saying. It's not bad enough for things to smell like feet. You want Crocs to smell like – that can't be true what you're saying, that Crocs are going to smell like – has he been fooled by the internet?
Look, I will send this to you. Look, I will show it to you on my screen. I will reverse it so you can see it. This could be yours for $60.
There you go, Dan. And they're not going to smell like feet. They're going to smell like chicken. They solve the problem of the shoes smelling like feet by making them smell like chicken, Dan.
Do you want me to read this from Good Morning America? For all the fried chicken lovers, Crocs and KFC is good synergy. Good Morning America, ABC, ESPN Radio. For all the fried chicken lovers, Crocs and KFC released a new shoe that you might put on your bucket list of things to try. On Tuesday, the limited edition KFC Croc Classic Clogs were released, and the internet is... Hey, I'm just reading the line, dude. This is not my line.
Why do you take that sound personally? Before, earlier in the show, you were repeating a Max joke, and now you're just reading. Why are you taking the game show loser sound personally and being defensive every time it makes an appearance?
Well, because I feel like it's not deserved. If I say something stupid, I deserve it. But
it wasn't directed at you. It was directed at the article, a bucket list. This whole thing, you got to be kidding me.
Don't make me flip the script. All right. Anyway. On Tuesday, the limited edition KFC Croc Clogs were released, and the internet was already obsessed. The shoes are covered in fried chicken print along with striped red base and white sole to represent KFC's logo. They also feature a strap and retail for $60.
That can't sell. It's not possible for that to sell. Like that, beyond being a terrible idea, there's no way that makes money, right? That's not possible that there's going to be any money made there.
And there is something that resembles a drumstick right at the top of it, actually. It's kind of funny when you look at it.
Not only will that sell, that will sell out in minutes, I think. I think that'll be one of those things that you're going to need one of those sneaker apps for just to get.
That is a terrible price point. $60 for a pair of fried chicken shoes? Get out of here.
Crocs are surprisingly expensive. Unless you go like to the Croc store when there's like a Black Friday deal or something, or it's like 2 for 1 or buy one, get one half off. Crocs are surprisingly expensive. They'll run you like $50, I think.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Are Crocs that smell like fried chicken going to sell out quickly? Like, it's one thing to say you believe it'll sell better than I believe it will sell. To say that it will quickly sell out as if there's some market out there of people who've been saying, man, I didn't want Crocs before, but if you make them smell like fried chicken, I'm in on Crocs. As a, both a designer decision, and I want to be walking everywhere surrounded by the smell of sort of rubbery fried chicken.
I mean, chicken.
This is
going to
be one of those
really
classic things that you think, like a Taylor Swift concert or something, where you're like, oh, I'm an everyman. I'm a Joe. I can get one of these pairs of Crocs that smells like KFC. No. You're going to need to know a Croc broker to get these shoes, Dan.
A tweeter writes in, I have thought for the longest time that the Lebatard Show ad said Dan Lebatard Show with his two dads, not Dan Lebatard Show with Stugatz.
You don't get the show.
That is my father's accent. Are you ready to tell us a second Stugatz story, Sedano? Are you going to flip the script? Because we've been doing this for 2 hours. You promised us a whole bunch of secret Stugatz stories, and so far you've only told one bad one.
Well, we didn't get a chance to do anything in the last hour because you wanted to talk about, like, I don't know, all sorts of stuff that's going on in the world. We wanted to have fun, Dan. You're being the grief eater.
Right, but I tried to talk about Stugatz stories, and then you all of a sudden threw
we
it
did
to
flip
imagery.
The script on
yes,
you.
Like
that. But I feel like the audience enjoyed that, and so did the guys. The guys absolutely enjoyed that. Look at them nodding.
I enjoyed it as well, but yes. You promised us stories, okay. And you've only given us one stinky one.
All right, I'm giving you the good one here, okay? I told this one to Billy yesterday, and Billy was like, oh, no. So I've done some reporting, Dan. This was something that was sent my way. I have vetted it and have found out that it is true. So apparently, you know, we have this new morning show with this new lineup coming on August 17th. And the new morning show is going to
be... Oh, no. Hold on a second. Hold on just a second. Billy, how bad's this story? How bad is this story? How greasy and awful is this story about how Stugatz was working behind the scenes to cheat on us as a show?
It is... Once you hear the story and you hear all of kind of like the different paths, it's not at all surprising what you're going to hear.
It's so good. It was like literally thrown on my lap. And I was like, oh, Dan's going to love this when I come on the show. All right. So through my reporting, Dan, and vetting all my sources, I have acquired a text message from Stugatz to one of the members of that new morning show. Now, that morning show is Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mahente. Again, August 17th from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. That will be the new morning show on ESPN Radio, followed by you guys, then Greeny with No Weenie, Max Kellerman, Golic Jr. and Chineo Gumike, Spain.
What did you say about Greeny? I think that show is going to have a lot of Weenie. I disagree. I don't think it's going to be a Weenie-less show. I think that he's going to come strong.
And then Freddie and Fitzsimmons, of course, in SportsCenter All Night. That is the lineup. So anyway, so I get this text message, and it says, Keyshawn, it's Stugatz. I was calling to congratulate you, and as I was doing that, my teenage daughter called me frantically crying about her boyfriend. Two laugh emojis. I'll try you back in a bit or call you tomorrow. My apologies and congratulations. So there's so many different angles to this. Was Stugatz calling Keyshawn, leaving a voicemail, and there was a frantic teenager in the background, and it might have sounded like there was bloody murder going on in the background, and there's this voicemail on Keyshawn's phone. Clearly there's this text on Keyshawn's phone that I have acquired through sources. Stugatz not only cheating on you, but doing it poorly.
Yes, well, I wouldn't expect it any other way. Yes, Billy.
Pair that with the fact that I think on the most recent episode of Stupidity, he interviewed Zubin Mahente. So it seems like Stugatz is trying to cover all his angles on that morning show and find the crack where he can find one.
Well, that's the thing, Dan. So my question is, who does he want to whack on that show? Is he forming an alliance with Keyshawn to whack either Jay Williams or Zubin Mahente? Is he luring in Zubin into his podcast to make him feel comfortable around Stugatz to then just whack him? Like, how is that going to play out?
I feel like that move there and some things have dried up, right? I think that Stugatz was actively trying to figure out how he could get to New York and work with either Greenberg or Golic. But I think that what he's doing now, having taken the defeat, is simply that he wants appearances on that show. So he's trying to be extra chummy so that they call him and do some appearances. Does anyone else have a theory? Billy, do you have a theory on what's happening here?
No, Dan. This is the classic Survivor move where you have your alliance and you're the last person out, and it seems all but certain you're going to be the next one to go until you start going to the alliance and seeing where you can find the cracks. And you see where it is that these two people don't get along with this third person, and all of a sudden you're the third person. Or I'll put a little feeler out here, I'll put a little feeler out there, and find how you can wiggle your way in while no one's paying attention, thinking that you're his friend. And I'm telling you right now, August 24th, Stugatz is going to be on that morning show somehow. Give it a week.
The funny thing about this, Dan, is that Stugatz, Billy asked me this question yesterday. He's like, does he even know Keyshawn? And I said, well, Stugatz was in L.A. one time to do your show, and he did it out of our studios here in L.A. And he, in typical Stugatz fashion, he waddles into the studio during one of Keyshawn's breaks when he was hosting the morning show in here in L.A., and he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, Keyshawn, Stugatz. And Keyshawn's like, hey, what's up? Like, he literally met him that day. So I don't even know how he got his phone number. I don't know how he got any information to get to Keyshawn, but he is working that thing. So I'm just warning you, Dan, that whether it's Greeny and the Weenie or him trying to whack either Jay Williams or Zubin Mehente, Stugatz is on the prowl.
He's angling, yeah. Does Keyshawn Johnson know who Stugatz is?
Like, no, absolutely not. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Rachel Nichols will join us at 12:30 Eastern, 9:30 Pacific. And now for your SportsCenter update. LeBron James says that he will keep his social media open throughout the rest of the NBA season. That's actually the wrong read, so let me do this. ESPN Radio is presented by... I am now doing a really good Stugatz impersonation. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of our show earlier, you can always listen to the 3 hours or all 3 hours on the Dan Le Batard Show podcast, plus the Miami Only Hour and the Best of Podcasts on Demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts.
Billy does a very good Stugatz impersonation. Sedano, many of you are marveling at how good Sedano's Stugatz impersonation is. Sedano's, I think, is a more limited impersonation. Do you guys want to talk to each other as fake Stugatzes? Do you guys have it in you? Like, if I threw a topic at you of any form, like, let's just whatever.
Is this like John being John Malkovich?
Yeah,
is that
what you're doing? I want to see if you guys can have a conversation.
Let's try it.
But is there subject matter? Do you want to just do Kevin Durant? Is Kevin Durant easiest to do for both of you? Or
I'll just follow Billy's lead. Let Billy go, and I will follow his lead. How about
right,
that? Billy, can you lead?
All right, let me give Billy a second to think about it, because it's not like we've rehearsed any of this. So let me give Billy a second to think about which direction he wants to take this in. And before we get to Rachel Nichols, who's going to join us in about 10 minutes from the bubble, Lou Williams, who has, you know, been sort of the face of easy stereotypical cliche when it comes to the NBA player by possibly endangering the health of the bubble by going to a strip club, and wonderfully enough, only for the food, evidently, because the food is wonderful. He's been getting beat up pretty good. And he went after Kendrick Perkins on Twitter, saying 15 years in this business and the most dirt you have on my name is stopping to get hot wings during a pandemic. Perk, shut up and stop laughing and saying it's just TV when you run into me too. Now, I don't know if that's the most dirt that we have on him, because I'm pretty sure all I knew about Lou Williams before this off the court was that for a little while there, he had a girlfriend who also had a girlfriend, which was a very exciting time, I imagine, in Lou Williams's life. That was not any kind of secret, although I had not heard him talk about it. I think, and this is a little reckless, I think both of them lived with him. Like, he was dating, basically, two girlfriends at one time. I think I've got that right. I should have checked it before I went on air with it. But regardless, it's something that gets imprinted in your head. Is Perk there at this point, Sedano, just to say things like a television wrestler? Is that what Perk is doing in terms of a lane here on ESPN television? Because it seems like he's always saying things that is that's getting people upset. And when Lou Williams says, and stop laughing and saying it's just TV when you run into me too, it seems clear that Perk is trying to say things as an instigator.
He's the greatest content provider we have here at ESPN besides Stephen A. Smith at the moment. Like, he literally gives us content each and every day. I love his delivery. I love everything about him. So to answer your question, I think he believes the stuff he says for the most part. But I think that what he's trying to tell guys is don't take it so personal when I say stuff that I feel. I think that's just kind of the move.
Billy, are you ready? Have we filibustered enough to get you ready to have a conversation with the limited Fake Stugatz as the real and reigning Fake Stugatz?
I'm surprised, Dano, you didn't call him Sweet Lou or Mighty Mouse, or we're talking about Lou Williams. I'm glad that we have Sedato in. You mentioned that Durant fake, you know, fake. I'm talking about him and none of his rings. But Sedato's out in L.A., and we haven't heard anything about this fake ace yet out there in Kershaw who can't even get the season started. As soon as the season goes to start, he's already taking games off and letting his team down when it's a shortened season. It's only 60 games. He can't even pitch 60 games.
I mean, I'm with you, Stu. I mean, he's got it. This fake ace. He's got the back. I mean, how about that? How about that? A back already?
This went poorly, Dano.
It really did. It seemed like a good idea in my head, but then it materialized into nothing.
I'll get this back on the rails. Roy, flip the script. Let's go.
Oh, for the love
of
God.
It's time to flip the script on Dan Le Batard. Here's your host, George Sedano.
All right. For those that don't know what we're doing, Dan likes to ask the probing questions, the personal questions of every interview subject that comes on this show, including the guest co-hosts and things of that nature. Now, we're going to flip the script. We're going to ask him personal questions. So I'm going to go first, and then Roy and Tony will go. Dan, what were you thinking when you once asked Hulk Hogan during an interview if wrestlers exchanged gay sex for match results? What were you thinking when you did that?
Rachel Nichols, next.
Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Rachel Nichols will join us here, host of The Jump, in just a few moments. And now for your SportsCenter update. LeBron James says that he will keep his social media open throughout the rest of the NBA season. The Seahawks plan to wait until next year to sign newly acquired safety Jamal Adams to a long-term deal. And finally, overall, the Lord of the Rings series received 475 awards out of 800 nominations, making it the most awarded film series in movie history. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's also one stat you probably don't know: your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and at participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We are awaiting a phone call from Rachel Nichols. I am curious what it's like in that bubble. Sedano, do you have any good questions for Rachel Nichols about the bubble? For example, I think, but I'm not sure, I would enjoy being able to ride the rides. You can't have access to the rides anywhere near the bubble, correct? We'll find out from Rachel Nichols now. The Jump, you can check it out today. Thank you for being on with us, Rachel. What can you tell us about, like, sort of the amenities that guys have there, that the NBA players have there, that we might enjoy hearing about?
It's a big question whether they get to go ride rides at Disneyland. Is that kind of the most important thing happening? Because I can understand that if it is.
I imagine you trying to sneak out and, you know, do the teacups and stuff. Like, I imagine you trying to violate all protocols in the bubble because you want to, you know, check out one of the roller coasters.
Hey, those teacups are dangerous. Don't joke. You take your life into your own hands in one of those things. You know, look, I think that they've told guys that they might get a Disney outing. Certainly the Lopez twins who play on the Bucks are big Disney aficionados. In fact, Brooke Lopez owns a house on the Disney property. That is how much he likes coming here. They, of course, have their little season passes. But so far, they've been trying to keep everybody inside. They just changed things so that, and this is planned, they've just reached the step where players are even allowed to go to each other's hotels. So I think Disney is still a ways away. They do get to golf. They do have sort of games and things set up for them. They have arcade games. They have outdoor games. And they have fishing. For me, I am of the impression that all of the NBA is just catching one fish, because you see everybody take a picture with the fish and then throw the fish back. And I think there is probably one NBA fish. I would like to know his name. I would like to get the sit-down interview with the fish. But so far, he's not returning my calls.
Rachel, who is living their best life in the NBA bubble? Because we've seen the NBA bubble life, the Twitter and Instagram account. But by your estimation, who's living their best life in the bubble right now?
I mean, I kind of think a bunch of guys are, and not to get too serious, but it's mostly the guys who are in that age group where they don't have kids or people at home that they, you know, for them, it's sort of like, oh, I live in an apartment by myself and do stuff and play basketball, and now I've moved down here and I live by myself and do stuff and play basketball, except instead of having to text my friends and convince them to come over, we're all here together. So I think for those guys, it's actually been a lot of fun, and you've seen them, you know, shotgunning beers and all of that. You know, some of the older guys who have families, some of the coaches, those are the conversations I've had with people where they have just sort of expressed that this is tough. I mean, Frank Vogel and I were talking yesterday. He says goodbye to his wife and kids, and when he's doing that, he's saying, I hope I don't see you for 3 months, right? It's a very weird thing that the more successful you are, the longer and more you'll be away from your family. So it's just a dynamic I think guys aren't used to. Obviously, these players travel all the time, but not for 3 months at a time. And they just had an unprecedented stretch where they had 4 months at home, which is something that none of their families were used to. So I think it's a little more complicated to be down here for guys who have families. And then you see the sort of 23-year-olds who are just, you know, hanging out with their bros playing outdoor Connect Four. And how is that different from home?
Is there more hope now within NBA circles that this is going to be successful, even though there could be a catastrophe at any moment, just given how we thought about this a month ago versus how we might think about it today?
Well, I think in a good way, no one's like counting their chickens, right? So they just announced this morning, first of all, there are no chickens. They could not get tested. They could not get onto the property. But just this morning, they announced that they had zero positive tests for the past 9 days. They had previously announced zero positive tests for the previous, I think, 8 or 9 days. So yes, it is working so far. Could there be a problem? They've got 3 more months of this. So sure, absolutely. I don't think that they're feeling, you know, cocky about anything. But I do think that they feel that even if somehow the virus got in and one or two guys came down with it, there is enough protocol and layers of protection, which is what they call it, that it wouldn't spread rampantly. And that's kind of what they're banking on. So I don't think they have promised anyone that it will be zero the whole way through. I think they feel like if they do have a couple cases crop up here and there, the hope at least is that it can be contained and that person can rest and heal and then rejoin the group once that they're test negative.
Rachel, the story came out yesterday where Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the NBA Players Association, said there may be a need for a bubble even next season. How have players reacted to that news as it trickled out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just tricky, right? Because part of dealing with coronavirus, as we've all found out in the last 4 or 5 months, is it's very hard to say what's going to happen in a month, right? So the NBA would like next season to start pretty soon, right? They're targeting December 1st, which on the one hand is not a lot of time to plan. On the other hand, gosh, if I look 5 months behind us, I could never have planned for what we're doing now, right? I would have told you we're crazy, that I would be standing in Orlando in a face mask watching NBA players scrimmage. Like, I would put you in an insane asylum. So to predict what's going to happen in 5 months from now is really hard. But it is also really hard right now to see what would be different. And if you're going to start training camps in November and we're on the brink of August right now, is so much in the country going to be different that you could do this outside of the bubble? And the short answer is we don't know. And the long answer is you got to plan for a lot of different scenarios. And one of the things I've heard crop up is, hey, maybe it wouldn't be just one bubble in a place like Orlando. Maybe you would do what they call pods, where you have the NBA divided up into four pods geographically. Players can bring their families. You have it set up as sort of a more sort of livable long-term situation. And then you do those pods, and then the pod champions sort of play together. But that is literally just, I'm not reporting this. This is an idea someone has thrown out, and they have thrown out 6 other ideas, right? And they're just going to have to keep going through the next few months of planning to see how this will work while we are also watching what is happening around the country.
Rachel Nichols with us on ESPN Radio. What can you tell us about the bubble and the daily sort of infringements of living in the bubble that are different than living outside the bubble? As you are, you know, you're in there and you had to go through a bunch of protocols in order to be in there, correct?
Yeah, and you can think of some stuff beforehand. So I really like good coffee, and I heard that there were bad coffee makers in the room and not really access to a coffee spot on campus. So I went to Amazon and ordered myself a $62 espresso machine, which has become my best friend. And it lives with me in my little hotel room, and I talk to it, and it's lovely. So you can anticipate some of those things. But some things you can't, right? I mean, you might, you're here for 3 months. So, you know, I'm going to come out and come back to our LA studio after a while, but these guys were here for a long time. It's just little things, I think, creature comforts of home. That is the reason why the shipping center here has been so busy. We did a piece on ESPN yesterday showing a warehouse where they ship stuff in, and the reason why it's so busy, just loads of UPS trucks every day, is you have a few thousand people who are like, oh man, I forgot that. Let me Amazon that. Or, you know, how do we become more creative about something else? So I think teams have brought in things. The shipping center told me that somebody ordered a full-size refrigerator to be put in their room, like with the ice maker and the whole thing. Someone ordered a couch to be delivered in their room. My room is not that big. I don't know where you would put a couch, but hey, I guess, you know, someone wants a couch. So there you go.
Rachel, how many chicken wing jokes have you heard in the last couple of days since you've been there?
I mean, it is interesting that the players' take on the Lou Williams situation is pretty different from the rest of what I've heard from outside the bubble. And it is their health and safety that is theoretically at risk here. But players, I think, had some concern after seeing the Lou Williams situation about being told what to do kind of in their private time and monitored and dictated to in their private time. And I understand that, right? That I've had several players tell me, like, hey, you just stopped to get some food. And we had Tracy McGrady say on the show yesterday, what if he had gone to Wingstop instead of Magic City? Like, does he still get in trouble? Does he still have to quarantine for 10 days? The NBA says the answer is yes, by the way, that going to a restaurant is a high-risk activity in their mind. And to sort of show that the morality, quote, issue isn't at play here, the example of Alex Caruso is something we've talked about, because the NBA talked to him when he wanted to go to his sister's wedding. His sister was having a 100-person wedding in Texas, and Alex asked, if I leave the bubble for that, what do I have to do when I come back? And they said, 100-person wedding is a high-risk activity. So if you left for the wedding, you would have to quarantine for 10 days upon coming back. And Alex decided in the end not to do it. But the NBA is sitting as judge and jury on those decisions, and it is the goal to keep everyone safe and healthy. And if you listen to these top epidemiologists that they've hired, it makes sense, but it is also something that conflicts with a player's sense of, hey, so much of my life is regulated by rules, and it's true now more than ever before. You know, if I want to go get wings, why is someone else deciding where I get wings? And I think it is an interesting look at sort of the larger conversation that is going on in this country about personal liberty versus your responsibility to the collective. And it happens in big, huge, controversial ways on the national stage, and it happens at Magic City, apparently, in the NBA.
We've got less than a minute left, so a couple of questions. One, the Brian Windhorst report that the next super team might be being planned right now. Two, the proper response to J.R. Smith saying he's got only 7 pair of underwear in the bubble.
I mean, I could do 18 spots for you on the radio, and I will never discuss J.R. Smith's underwear. You can't make me. ESPN doesn't pay me enough. As for the super team, I mean, look, we've seen super teams develop out of Team USA in the Olympics. It's certainly where Dwayne and LeBron bonded with Chris Bosh, and it is definitely where Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and Andre Drummond and DeAndre Jordan became such good friends. And the idea that, you know, they were on a boat in Rio and they were all stuck together, and they became buddies, and that friendship lasted a couple years and is the reason that Kevin Durant, or one of the reasons he doesn't play for the Warriors anymore, which is one of the biggest moves in the NBA in the last 5 years. So I absolutely think that there's going to be some sort of impactful relationship here. Players can go visit each other on other teams now. They can hang out. They're locked in this situation with each other, and I would expect it to spawn some friendships, and that could turn around and spawn some free agency, no doubt.
Thank you for the time, Rachel. Check her out on The Jump every day in the middle of your afternoon. Thank you for being on with us.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon, guys.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything.
That is Jorge Sedano. No Stugatz today. Sedano will be in with us again tomorrow. The Athletic is reporting that another Marlin has tested positive for the coronavirus. That makes 18. 18 is the number. But better news here coming from Shams. Sources, zero NBA players have tested positive for the coronavirus out of 344 tested at Orlando campus since the last results were announced July 20th.
It's Shams. That's a fine.
Consecutive testing rounds, he says, where no new player has tested positive. That's as hopeful a news as you're going to get there. The fact, I mean, it could fall apart at any point, right? But the fact that they keep getting zero positive tests it makes you hopeful. How could you not be hopeful when they've got this stringent thing in place that baseball doesn't have in place that allows them to have all this massive testing and the last couple of rounds, zero positive tests? It's not even like you got a blip or a scare anywhere there.
Baseball's basically wasting all that money on tests because they're allowing these guys to travel in hotels packed with other people. There's stories about some of these players getting to these hotels and weddings are going on. Like, there's all this interaction. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Whereas the NBA got the sign off from Dr. Fauci and the CDC and all that stuff. Look, there's a reason Adam Silver is looked at, right, as kind of the gold standard of commissioners right now. And I'm curious to see what the NFL does, Dan, with all this lead time that they've had and how they could potentially mess this thing up. Hopefully they don't.
The NFL strikes me as being symbolic of sort of America, where we had plenty of lead time with Italy and South Korea and everywhere else, and we still managed to screw it up more than any other country. With all of the lead time in the world, the NFL feels like that to me. You're seeing both examples of how this could go in baseball and in basketball, and you're seeing the differences in the way that they handled things, and now you're seeing the numbers come back where 18 Marlins get gonged, but the NBA doesn't have a single positive test.
All right, since we only have 90 seconds, that's all good, Dan. Flip the script, Roy! Go! Flip the script!
And
don't let him get out of it!
It's time to flip the script on Dan Le Batard. Here's your host, George Sedano.
All right, Dan asks all the probing questions of his guests and co-hosts. We're going to do it to him now. Dan, you're not going to weasel out of this. Why did you ask? What were you thinking when you asked Hulk Hogan that ridiculous question about stuff exchanged for match results? What were you thinking?
You're going to have to be more specific. Stuff exchanged for, like, who knows what the
sexual hell you're
talking
about? Sexual
relations, Dan. Not just sexual relations. Gay sex exchanged for match results.
Yes, what were you thinking?
I thought I read it somewhere.
Tony, go.
Dan, what's the most embarrassing place you've ever taken a poop?
In my backyard.
What? How did that happen?
We have a rejoin today.
I got locked out of my house. I had a whole bunch of journalism plaques. I'd won like 5 journalism awards. I came back from a convention in Atlanta. I got to my house, was penguin walking through the driveway, and then the door was locked, and I didn't have my keys, and I didn't have much of a choice. So behind a mountain of journalism awards, five of them, if that can count for a mountain, I made my own mountain. Yes, Billy.
So things looked up when you were crying in that bathroom in the Miami Herald building because you were beat on that Marlins beat, huh?
That's right. It's a real success story.
Roy, do you have one?
What was the most embarrassing thing that has happened in your journalism career?
I mean, I think I just said I pooped in my backyard.
In front of people.
With a mountain of... I didn't know. I have neighbors. Like, I this was not a discreet... This was not a concealed area. Like, I wasn't... I didn't have great landscaping, so I don't know, you know, who has been scarred with the mental image. I don't know that I have a more embarrassing story than a more embarrassing journalism story than that.
I'm going to investigate. I'm going to find your neighbors. I'm going to call them. We're going to bring them on the show. We're going to do an E60 style investigative report on Poopgate.
Thank you, Sedano. I appreciate it. You will get some more Sedano tomorrow here. You can also check him out where. We got 10 seconds, Sedano.
ESPN Los Angeles, literally in 2 minutes.
All right. In 2 minutes, you will find Sedano there. See ya.